176 verses. That's 22 sections of 8 verses each. There's 8 verses, then 8, then 8. 22 sections. There are 22 Hebrew letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of these 8 sections starts with one of those Hebrew letters. You'll find the first 8 verses, the Hebrew equivalent to our A is Aleph. And then you start verse 9, Bet. And Gimel in verse 17, and Daleth in verse 25, and Hey in verse 33, and where we're going to be tonight is verse 41, Vav. And that is the equivalent, and they use these as numbers as well. And this would be the equivalent of the number 6. And so here in Psalm 119, every one of these verses, every one of these sections deals with some type of practical application referring to the Word of God. I'm thankful tonight we have a copy of the inspired, preserved Word of God. I don't have to worry about there's any mistakes. If there's a mistake, it's with me and not the Bible. And I'm glad we have that. I'm glad we have a copy. A copy that he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so the psalmist here has fled to the scriptures. He's fled to the word of God for some comfort and some refuge. And so in verse 41, let's read here. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth thee, me. For I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, allowing us to be here tonight. We thank you for the word. We ask you to give us some words of wisdom to help and give the people that they need. And Lord, to help us through the rest of this week. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Here's a section of 8 verses. It deals with the value of the word of God. What does the Bible, how much do you cherish the Bible? Could you live 6 months without a Bible? Could you live a week without a Bible? What is the value of the Word of God? Some countries don't have the Bible. Some countries would be killed if they found a copy of the Bible. Most of us have 5, 10, 12 Bibles laying around in our home. And here's the sad part. A lot of times our Bibles have dust on them and the TV guide is just, you know, worn out. Woo, hallelujah. Well, let me give you 8 or 10 things about these 8 verses, and you may want to write them down. Number one, I find in verse 41 the protection of God's word. Verse 41, he says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. There's protection with the word of God. There's need. The psalmist cries out for the mercies of God. These mercies rescues him from darkness. When he's having a dark day, a bad day, a day of despair, these scriptures he can run to for refuge and get some help and comfort and mercies in the day of darkness. You think about Abraham. Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And it says, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, said, get thee out. That Bible protected Abraham and got him out of a place of darkness. You think about a fellow by the name of Jonah. You may have heard him before. He got into a dark place one day. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the Bible says, let's see, I think over there, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord from his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction of the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. Jonah says there's protection in that Bible. If you will go with that Bible and stay with that Bible, there's protection in that Bible. Abraham would agree there's protection in that Bible. Daniel would agree there's protection standing on that word right there. It'll get you through the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys, Yoshak, Meshach, and Abednego, they will tell you. They will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's protection in that word, standing on the word. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this, even if our God don't deliver us, we still ain't a-bowing. They trusted in that Bible. There's protection there. Number two, I got to hurry. There's power in the Word of God. There's protection, there's power. Now notice what he said in verse 42. So shall I have therewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. You know one of the reasons we don't witness, you know one of the reasons we don't want to talk to anybody about the Lord is because we don't have the answer to give them. He says what he said. The psalmist said, so shall I therewith to answer him that reproacheth me. The world's going to make fun of you. They're going to say, oh, this evolution brought this thing. Do you have enough Bible to answer that reproach? Woo! Brilliant minds are going. You know how many students come out of a Bible believing church. They went into some secular college somewhere, and they come out not even believing God. Why? Because the wisdom of this world is against the wisdom of God. And if you don't have that word in your heart and your mind, you won't have an answer to give them that reproacheth you. Do you trust in the Bible? How did Jesus combat Satan in the wilderness of temptation for 40 days, 40 nights? He said, it is written. He hit him one time. He said, it is written the second time. It is written the third time, and the devil departed. You know how to get the devil to depart from you? Show him the Bible. Amen. You heard about the little boy? Little boy just got saved. And the way he got saved was somebody preached on John 3:16. He knew John 3:16 was in the Sunday school. And he knew John 3:16. That's all he knew. And he got saved. Trusted Jesus Christ. And that night he went to bed. And the lights are out. Here come the devil. That ain't true. You didn't get saved. Perhaps you didn't say it right. Perhaps you didn't do it right. And the little boy remembered. The little boy remembered how they told in Sunday school how Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness and how Satan loved darkness rather than light. And he said, hey, the darkest place in my room is under my bed. So he got his Bible. He stuck his finger on John 3:16. He stuck it under the bed and said, read it for yourself. Some of us are going to have to get the word, stand on the word, put your finger on it, say, devil, read this for yourself. There's power in that word. You say, oh, that ain't power in that word. I tell you what, next time you go to the hospital or somewhere, and I've done this before, and it'll sure clean out the whole place. You get you in the hospital, and you just start. On the elevator, full elevator. In 3 minutes, you'll be in there by yourself. All you got to do, take your Bible. You don't have to say nothing. Just take your Bible, open it up, and people. Why? Powerful. It's so powerful they got rid of it out of school because they didn't want kids in schools. They didn't want the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall. Why? They was afraid some kid might obey it. That book's powerful. I mean, you don't have to do much, but just go into a waiting room in the hospital or the doctor's office, and you just pick up, if you got a Gideon Bible there or whatever, it's a good one, and I used to just do King James. I wish you still did that. And or bring yours in there and just sit there in the doctor's office. Listen, you won't sit there all day. Just read the rest of them magazines you got. You're going to sit there half a day. Bring your Bible. Start reading it out loud. Teach me, O Lord, thy ways. Let me learn patience. O Lord, give me understanding that I may keep the law. Keep my whole heart, O Lord. Mr. Ballinger, come on back. We got room. We got to come on back. Hey, that book is powerful. There's protection in it. There's power in that word right there. Now, let me give you this. There's proof in the Word of God. There's proof in the Word of God. There's protection, power. Look at verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. The skeptics are going to try your faith. They're going to have, well, what about this? Well, where did Cain get his wife? Did Adam have a belly button? Who cares? Well, what about this? Well, why did God allow this to happen? Why did God take my mama? Why did God take my little baby? And the psalmist says, when that happens, let there always be words in my mouth that I can give an answer with the hope that lieth in me. That's what he said. He said, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Lord, don't let me stand there and look dumbfounded. Don't let me always be able to give an answer because I'm trusting in your word. That's what he said. He said, I've hoped in thy judgments. And the skeptics are going to be there. But you have to understand, folks, why did God do this? Why did God allow this to happen? Hey, God's word doesn't operate on your little time frame. God is an eternal God. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and he wrote a book that's the same way. And so God's, all things work together for good. Them love God, them are called according to his purpose. And you've got to stand on that knowing that God is going to see the thing through. I ain't got time to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 over there where it says, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Where is the promise of thy coming? Y'all been saying Jesus is coming forever. Well, I'm just telling you, he's coming. Amen. And verse 5 over there said this, for this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and so on and so forth. And then he says over here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day, and so forth. He said, by the word of the Lord, you can shut the mouths of the critics if you've got the word. If you don't, you're going to stand there and the words ain't going to be in your mouth. That's what the psalmist said. Don't let the words depart out of my mouth. Always let me have those words to say. That's the proof of the Word of God. And then you've got the permanence of the Word of God. Say, what is permanence? Well, that means it's forever and ever. That's the only thing I can think of started with a P. Just pray for me. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually. For how long? Forever and ever. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible says he's exalted his word above his own name. That Bible is settled in heaven. It's forever, ever, ever, everlasting. You say, preacher, will we ever? Hey, there's nobody that knows everything in this Bible. And you won't never. And I know that's improper English, but I mean, it preaches better here in Tennessee. I went to school. I just didn't let it bother me. When you get to heaven, that Bible right there is still an eternal book, and you'll still, when you get up in the morning in heaven, which is always going to be morning in heaven, read your Bible. Boy, they just put that in there. Man, I've read my Bible 100 times through. That verse hadn't always been in there. How many times that happened to y'all? Why? That's an eternal book. There's stuff in there you ain't seen yet. Amen. Wouldn't it be a boring book if you just read it and you got it all? And then we're sitting in heaven. No, friend, that's an eternal book. It's forever and ever. Now, let me give you the path of God's Word. I didn't give you the protection. I didn't give you the power. I didn't give you the proof. I didn't give you the permanence. I'm giving you the path now. This verse 45, he says, here's the path. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Walk in liberty. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? There's liberty in Christ. You get in that Bible, there's liberty. You know what the world's going to say? Oh, no, I can't become a Christian. Man, there are too many do's and don'ts, and you can't do this, and can't do that, and you can't do this. No, friend, it ain't that you can't do anything. It's you can do anything through Jesus Christ. You can do anything you want to do. And if you want to do some of the things you used to do, then your want to needs to get saved. And you ought to have a new want to. You ought to not want to do those things. Oh, you can't do this. There's too many restrictions. Well, let me just explain it to you this way. This is the way it is. When you get out on that highway, y'all know you can go anywhere you want to. Y'all got to stay on the highway. Y'all can go anywhere you want to. You can even go in the grass if you want to. I would advise it. Because there's restrictions there to keep you on the highway. Now, don't go to sleep on Wednesday night. I know it's tough, but hang on. The reason there's guardrails there is not to try to keep you from having fun. It's trying to keep you from breaking your neck. Well, God don't let me do nothing. What about Him trying to protect you? He gives you all these paved highways, and you want to drive in the grass. I don't know, nobody tells me what to do. I'll go where I want to go. Well, help yourself. You're going to be finding somebody to dig you out of that ditch for long. Yes, you can go anywhere you want to, but the guidelines will sure make it a whole lot easier if you stay on the paved highway. But if you're going to stay on the paved highway, there are some turns you're going to have. I can't go over there. I can't exit here. Huh? And so there's the path. I think the whole thing comes down to this. Eve wanted freedom. Adam bought into it and says, yeah, I wonder what's outside the gates here. I want to be free. And they disobeyed God, got off in the grass, and got kicked out, and they had all the freedom in the world. And then they wanted back in. You may not want to be as free as you think you want to be. Because once you get free, you're like, oh, I don't like it out here. There was protection in there. There was power in there. There was a path in there. Anyway, then there's protection, there's power, there's proof, there's a path, and then there's some principles. Here's some principles in verse 46. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before what? Kings. And I will not be ashamed. Boy, you think about that. You say, well, what in the world is that talking about? Well, Paul spoke before kings. And every time he got in front of one of them guys, it didn't bother him one bit. He wasn't worried about them being the president or the king or the whoever or the congressman or whoever. He gave his testimony. He said, hear me, old king. And one of them kings said this, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. I think Jesus spoke before kings, gave his testimony before kings, didn't he? They said, anyway, that's a funny story. Jesus standing before Pilate and all of them. Are you really who you say you are? Don't you know I've got the power to kill you? And Jesus is like, you wouldn't have any power if my daddy didn't give it to you. Well, y'all got to see funny stuff in the Bible. He would be born if he did. I mean, Jesus is like, well, you wouldn't be there if my daddy didn't approve it. There's principles in the Word of God. Spoke before kings. And guess what? Jesus was not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed when he spoke before kings because he had the Word. He stood on the Word. I thank Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors, stood before kings and spoke that Word. What about old Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. Look at there. And he stood on the Word and he spoke before kings. And the king said, we better not catch you praying no more. David went back to his room. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Where's my aspirin? So I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to want to pray, and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, he went in and got on his knees, opened the windows, was not ashamed, and said, I'm fixing to pray like I did yesterday. And they come got him. He said, whatever. I'm standing on the Bible. And then he got in the lion's den, still not afraid. I think he got down there and prayed in the lion's den. And all of a sudden he had his head bowed, eyes closed. Now you have to read this between the lines, okay? It's all right. Everything will be all right. He's down there praying, got his eyes closed. He opens his eyes. There's two lions right there praying with him, right there beside the side of him. Two lions over there going. Don't you think it's in there? And Daniel's like, oh, I sure am getting tired. I don't want to lay down on this hard rock floor. One of them lions just sort of laid down like a couch. Daniel's like, oh, that looks pretty comfortable. Why? Because there's liberty in serving God when you're standing on the Bible. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. We're just talking about the only thing you have against the world. Amen. There's principles in the Bible. Then there's pleasures in the Bible. Verse 47, look. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Hey, what do you find pleasure in? Now, I'm not against that. I love playing golf. I love doing all those kind of things. And I find pleasure in those things. But hey, folks, and I'm not against having fun and doing those type of things. I do them. I really do. But what do you find pleasure in? If there's not a time during the day, during the week, sometime or another, when you find pleasure just sitting down, turning everything off, the phone and everything, and just sitting down. And Lord, I just want to read and see if you can speak to me today. Find pleasure in that. And then the last one, eight. This is an eight-point sermon. Ain't that awful? 8 points. It's supposed to be just three. 3 points and a tear-jerking illustration, and you're supposed to go home. This one had eight because it's eight verses. Then you got eight. There's the potential of God's Word. What's the potential? Well, verse 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You say, preacher, what is he talking about, lifting up your hands? Well, I don't know how many of y'all have ever experienced this, but if you've ever been in trouble with the law, let me show you, show of hand, no, never mind. you ever been in trouble with the law? And the law pulls you over, or they knock on your door, and you open the door. They got a warrant for your arrest, and they open the door. First thing they say, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. I'll make sure you ain't got nothing. Make sure you're clean. And so you're like, some of you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's like, yeah, that's right. I've been there. Been there. Been there. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Don't shoot. I'm clean. I'm coming. I'm surrendering. Well, that's what the psalmist says. He says, when I read that word, the word's like, let me see them hands. See them hands. What you got? Better get your hands out of your pockets. Clean your pockets out. Let me see them hands. Surrender. When I read that word, I'm like, hey, can I help you on, can we just help you on something? If you do that, does not mean you're Pentecostal. Raise that. Oh, they must be Pentecostal. Raising a hand. But more so than that, more so than this, you with me? More so than this, there's hands on your heart that when you read, you need to have them hands up. Saying, I don't have anything. My hands are clean. I surrender to your word. That's what Psalmist said. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. That's it. That's what the psalmist said right there. The value of the Bible. How much value is the Bible to you? Well, I tell you, if the Lord tarries his coming, we may find out how valuable the Bible is when they come in the back door and start taking all the Bibles. Amen. And then you wished you'd had it. But we ain't going down without a fight. Take my Bible. You can't. We want to fight over that. You mean you'd fight over it? Yes. Yes, sir. That's how valuable it is. That don't mean I'm more spiritual. I ain't trying to say I'm more spiritual than you. But you ought to get that ought to be valuable to you. I forgot to read you this. We got time? Oh, yeah. And the only reason I'm rushed, those of you visiting, the only reason we got a little business to take care of and here in a minute, and it won't be a problem. But in the Dark Ages, a preacher was asked by a king, if you don't shut your mouth and stop preaching, I'll have you drowned in the river. The preacher said, if you do, Your Majesty, my soul will arrive in glory in the palace of the King of Kings before you can get your horse back in the stable. King said, you got to stop preaching or I'm going to have you thrown in prison. That preacher said, I was set free by Jesus Christ, and a prison is a palace with the Lord near. That king said, I'll confiscate your goods and property. That preacher said, I have treasures laid up in heaven. He said, I'll have you exiled. That preacher said, I have no city down here. I tell you what, I'll just cut your head off. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, preacher, what are you saying? When you stand before kings and you have the word, I shall not fear. Amen. All righty. Thank the Lord for the Bible. Amen.